my thoughts. You know how someone has said to you at one time or another, a penny for your thoughts? Well, I'm going to give you 2 cents worth. And give a little bit back, a little more back than what you were asked to do. I know that there are some folks that come here, and they come here because they want to get and receive messages, and they believe that we are all psychically connected, and they want answers to perplexing problems, or perhaps connect to someone, a loved one who has crossed over. And sometimes we get folks that come in here and they want answers to who they were in their past lives. I mean, really, I have trouble combing my hair in the present life. I'm not involved with past lives. Past life is yesterday, 2 months ago, 20 years ago. That's my past life. I'm so busy trying to get this one right. Like, I don't care if I burned on a steak or I was Delilah's cousin or was on a Viking ship. I mean, that is so, like, hello. But 20 years ago, I can't say what my past life was because I lived it. I was there. Live, living color, racing through it as quickly as I could, South Wheel Run Ryan. I was very much into myself and pleasing only the palette of being in those days. And it came up for me that something that the old past life president Thomas Jefferson had said, he who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and a third time, till at length it becomes habitual, and I was a habitual liar. He tells a lie without attending to it, and truths without the world believing it. Once you become a habitual liar, once you begin to escape and believe all the stories of self, that when you do tell the truth with earnest heart, nobody believes you. Then I began to believe myself that I was born under a bad sign. I became questioned as to the omnipresence of God, the all-being everywhere at the same time, completely knowledgeable and the ability to have that spiritual connection with all of us. And my life was really going nowhere and it was going fast. I felt sorry for myself, and then about 20 plus years ago, I'm laying in my bed, crying. I was raised right, I had good parents, and I had a 38 at my temple. There's hot tears coming down the sides of my eyes, and I'm crying my heart out. And I was 5 religions already, had investigated, and been a good member to each congregation. You know, I stood on street corners proclaiming God, I knocked on doors, I gave talks, I did everything that it could, but now I'm laying in my bed with a 38 at the temple of my head. And all the time, the temple was myself. All the time, God was within me. I saw colors and heard voices and all kinds of strange and weird and wonderful things, but it led me to the gun. After I decided to pray, to really give earnest prayer, and that I knew in my heart that there was only one real heart reader. Didn't matter what I said to you, what I had, where I came from, who I was, or who I thought I was. There was only one real heart reader, and I called out to that source to please to help me in my life, to give some meaning and purpose to my devastated soul. Soon the answers came, and I was able to clean that life up. You know, a liar, a cheater, and thief. Oh my, a liar, a cheater, and thief. Oh my, they made that movie, didn't they? And I came by invitation to this little Wednesday night church, which is an informal gathering of this thought pattern. The Sunday church, a cute little house up in Kensington, is the Sunday meeting place. How many new people are here? Oh, oldies but goodies. Oh, and a jokester. Okay, we like it. And I came in and I started to feel like I was no longer the orange that hung in the apple tree, that misfit. I started to listen and to see the sparkles in people's eyes, that spiritual connection that everyone was working on earnestly, that everyone was practicing on a daily basis. I started to feel the love of that family uniting business, because my family had ripped apart. I ran through it with complete devastation. And I decided at that time I would investigate. I no longer was going to believe by false promises or false acts, or because somebody told me to, or if you didn't follow the rules, you're out of here. I was no longer going to believe that if you didn't associate with just the members in the congregation and that you started to associate with everybody outside, that you would be disassociated as a member within. I was no longer going to, that didn't work for me. You know, I had already stood in the darkness and I was looking for the light. And for those of us who have stood in the darkness, the light shines brighter. And there was a hope here for me. And when I got to the Sunday meeting, and I got to be one of those newbies, you raise your little hand up, and they hand out their declarations. And I read the very first one in the principles, where it states, we believe in God as the complete. We believe in God as the first great cause, the omniscient, the omnipresent, the omnipotent, I hope I said that right, intelligence. Then I knew I was in the right place. So what I did for this talk was to take that very first principle, because it was that first principle that I wrapped around my heart, where that healing energy, where the spiritual began to recover itself. So I looked it up in the dictionary. I took the time. And the omniscient means complete knowing, the awareness, and the understanding. And the omnipresent means everywhere, all-encompassing, at one time. And the omnipotent means infinite powers, no beginning, no end. Wow, that is really amazing to me. Sunday, I went to service, and there was a really good talk there by Rita Schumacher. If you missed it, you missed it. And it was talking on the fires. And it takes me back sometimes when I hear a speaker speak. It takes me back inventory-wise in my life. And I went back to when I had a fire in 1971, and how I responded to it. In the opening statements of thoughts, when Millie opened up the service, she mentioned a few things, and one of those things were, behave yourself like an adult. Don't whimper like a baby. Don't fuss like a child. And don't quit like an adolescent. And when it took me back about my fire, that's exactly what I was practicing. I was whimpering like a baby, I was fussing like a child, and I wanted to quit like an adolescent. And that's when I had decided to go on that destructive path, and I decided that God was against me and all those weird, concoctious, negative feeds that sometimes the soul tends to want to feed itself. From that time to this time, that past life and this life has led me to stand here today, and I'm very grateful to have been that smear in the pants kind of woman. Because it has brought me to this point, and I am so utterly grateful for that. She had given a story about an Indian woman who had everything burned down, lived in a home for 100 years that had belonged to her father. And she owned 350 acres of property. The fires came, and they were coming closer to her home. She had dogs and cats, and she also had horses. Well, the horses, the corral was always left wide open, and they were allowed to run in and out because she had so much land. And they were out at pasture, so she couldn't collect them. She only had time to grab her little animals, her dogs and her cats, and she ran off. And a few days later, she came back, and there was nothing but ash. And in the place where the corral stood, you could see that the corral had burned down. And in the corral were her horses. They had run home, and they sought comfort and security in protection from the fire. The woman had absolutely nil, nothing, no insurance, nothing. And if, and as is the custom, she came upon her land, and she was dropping food crumbs, bread, generally speaking, and sage down her property. And when a friend of hers asked her what she was doing, she said that she was welcoming back the animals by dropping these little food crumbs. And what I got out of that, and what Rita had said, is what kind of seeds are we dropping? What kind of food crumbs are we dropping? And when it took me back to my own fire and how I whimpered and I cried and I drank too much over it, and I thought I was Peggy Lee standing on the lawn. Is that all there is to a fire? Then let's have a drink and have a ball, you know? As the flames were consuming in the window, my little daughter and I, she was almost 4 years old, barely got out of there with our life. If food cooks in the cans, I mean, and it's smoke everywhere, and just the very bottom part of the house, the very bottom part of the rooms is clear. And because fire feeds on oxygen, it was pulling with great force all the oxygen from all the other rooms, so it was actually pulling us into the flames. We were crawling. I had her little hand, and we were crawling. There were cinders, and it was pretty devastating to be inside that whole thing. This thought pattern has taught me a lot. We are very connected to the other side. Those that are crossed over, they are very connected to us. As a result of that fire, I also had a dream, and in this twilight of my dream, the fires that we all just had, I dreamt this young girl called Ashley. She was killed in these recent rages. And I knew a little bit about her story. And in the twilight of my sleep, I was almost asleep, and I was praying, and I have a prayer list, because I know that prayer is very powerful. It has worked in my life, and it's created miracles in my life to where there's no question or doubt every time I look in a mirror. You know, it's just a reflection of what I know to be true. I felt an ash fall upon my cheek, and immediately I knew it was an ash. And I thought, wow, an ash. And then the name came, Ashley. And she came to me, and she told me that the fires was not what took her life. She choked from the smoke, that she popped out first from the smoke. She was caught in the back seat of the car, and she helped, after she popped out, push her sister, who was on fire, out the front seat. Ooh, it chills. I thanked her for coming to me, for having been a vehicle for being open enough to receive that message, because I guess I was a little bit disturbed when I heard about it. She was only 16 years old. She had just come from a Halloween party. It was her very first date, you know, and I just kind of related a little bit to this young lady. So when you come and you want a message and you want to hear something inspiring, you can do that yourself. You can go within yourself with prayer, and the answers will come. It's always fun to hear somebody else give you a message. It's always fun to find out that you truly are connected, and how did they really know? How did they know that? Because we all are sincerely, truly connected. I was sitting in the doctor's office the other day, and there was two little ladies in there, two little black ladies, really cute. And they're talking about God, right? One was a hallelujah girl, and the other one was a So, they're talking amongst themselves, and in the conversation, they're talking about God and praying for their neighbors, and you know how powerful prayer is and everything, and I'm sitting waiting to see the doctor myself, and then the conversation stays really quiet. I knew it was my turn. They had given me the permission to speak because I was just listening, you see. I was being real quiet. So, I took the cue. I said, yeah, ladies, the prayer is really powerful. I believe that prayer is really powerful. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, the other one says. I said, but when you get to pray for your enemies, you know, and you get to pray for Saddam Hussein and Bush just as strongly, I said, then you are really praying for universal peace. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Right? They're really cute. And when you pray, ladies, remember that you should pray for yourselves. For you yourselves. You are creations of the source, of the great omnipresent. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And if you pray, and when you pray, you know yourselves, lady, knowing the Bible as well as I hear you know the Bible, that you can pray on the road, you can pray when you sit, and you can pray when you walk, you can pray at any time. You can pray now, for your words in itself, they're always being heard, whether they're in your mind, in your heart, they're being spoken, or whether they're in prayer. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, I felt like I was on a roll. Right? Felt really good. So then I say, now which one of you would like to take me to lunch? Because they were all going, mm-hmm, hallelujah. And neither one of them wanted to. But one of them gave me a card, and I told her that I would read it, and I would give it back to her. And the card said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, because this whole thought pattern is on love. Love is the key to the kingdom. Then I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic, you know, when we prophesy, powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove and move mountains, but have not love, I have and I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love bears all things. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. So the key here, the key was love. The key is love yourself. Heal yourself that others might see you, your living testimonies. Some folks may never pick up the Bible. Some folks may never understand what spirituality is. Some folks only see you as a living testimony of what you believe in. So walk upright. You know, hold yourself in good manner. For it is also written that bad association will spoil useful habits. And that's in Corinthians 15. So, faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And I want to just leave that note with you, that the greatest of these is love. So continue putting up with one another, you know, in patience, and continue tolerating one another in love. And with that, I leave the thought, my two pennies worth. Thank you very kindly.